You're listening to Words of Encouragement, the preaching ministry from the pulpit of the First Baptist Church of Winnsboro, Louisiana. Dead to sin, alive to God. Dead to sin, alive to God. Today on Words of Encouragement.
It is good to be in the house of the Lord today. This morning I want to talk about dead to sin, alive to God. In one of the translations I have, that's one of the subtitles of this passage of Scripture. And as we look at this passage of Scripture, this is, a passage to tackle. I wish Paul would just make everything easy, and I wish he would just like sum up little things and just kind of put it in little nice little bite-sized pieces that we could all just take a bite here and move along. But no, he has to make it flow. And so verses 1 through 14, there was no way I could break that up and just say, okay, we're looking at a portion of it. We're going to try to look at all of that today. It's going to be a challenge, but I think we may be all right. I hope we'll be all right. Sin. It's not something we like to talk about much. And why is that? It's so funny how we can say, well, they did something wrong. Well, I did something wrong. Well, I made a mistake. We like to cloak our sin sometimes as a mistake. Like we didn't mean to do it, but we did it. A mistake. Sin is sin. It is a decision on a part of a person to commit an act that is against God. That's basically, it is missing the mark. That's what sin is. And so when we hear the word sin, we don't like that word. It brings with it some other words that we do not like. When you hear the word sin, does it make you feel judged when you hear the word? Sin. I mean, it just, whoa. For some of us, it unsettles us. Is it because that it is something that God is against and we know that and we suddenly search our own hearts? Have we sinned recently? Have we done something? Why is it that sin, just the word itself, just bothers us? It should bother us. Sin is what separates us from God. Sin is what sends us not to heaven, but to hell. It is what contributes to the ruination of this world. Sin is so serious that if we do sin, the punishment is death. That's the only way we can atone for our sins. That's it. But guess what? If you're a child of God, if you've asked God to forgive you and come into your heart and to be in charge of your life, then you are dead to sin and alive to God, because Christ made it possible for your sins, my sins, to be atoned for, to be dealt with when he died on that cross. I'm going to ask that you stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God from Romans chapter 6, verse 5. Romans chapter 6, verse 5. The Bible tells us, "For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection." May God bless the reading of his word. I invite you to be seated. The punishment. Let me just preface this sermon by saying this is kind of heavy stuff here. Paul, when he writes, very intelligent person. And so sometimes when he writes on his level, and he kind of leaves us like, oh, whoa, I gotta read that again. I gotta read that verse again. I gotta read that sentence again. Paul, wait a minute. Whoa. You got a lot in that. And so as we walk through this, I want us to keep that in mind, that we're going to need to pay attention very closely here. The punishment for our sins died when Christ died. Earlier in chapter 5, verse 20, Paul writes these words. He says, "The law came in so that the transgression would increase." Whoa, what? But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. Now, a confused and mixed up mind could say, well, then we need to sin so that we can get more grace. Well, I mean, Paul says the law came in so that the transgression would increase. Actually, the knowledge of the transgression is increasing because the law is there. If you don't know that something is wrong, you don't know it's wrong. But here's the law to tell us this is wrong. Oh, so the so you realize, oh boy, all this that I've been doing, all this that I've participated, oh, it's wrong. So the law helps us to understand that what we've been doing is wrong, but and in a way increases our knowledge of what is wrong in our lives. But then Paul says, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So, well, okay then. Let's just go sin and we'll get more grace. That just sounds great. That's how we get more grace, by sinning more. Okay. A confused and mixed up mind may think that way. A confused and mixed up mind would say, well, then, all right, we can do what we want as long as we confess it and get forgiveness and we can just go on our way. Hey, it's no big deal. Hey, we live in this world. We live our lives like this. We just do whatever we want. As long as we confess it, we're fine. This is pretty cool. No, that's not at all what Paul is saying here. He is not saying we can just do whatever we want and then just confess it and be okay. No, there's more, a whole lot more to this. Look at verses 1 and 2 of chapter 6. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? Oh my, may it never be. And I will never forget. I will never forget my Greek professor, Dr. Munn. He reminded me of Jimmy Stewart, but just a great guy. But he read this passage and he said, may it never be. Absolutely not. Paul says, this is not how we are to live. We are not to say, well, I can just do whatever and then I get more grace. May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Here Paul points out the fact that we, those of us who have given ourselves to God, have died to sin. Now it sounds like, oh, if we died to sin, then we can't sin. No, that's not what it's saying here. How do we still live in it? Look at verse 3. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into His death? When you were baptized into His death. There's a link that is happening. Listen to in Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, Paul gives a little bit more to this. He says, for all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. Is it starting to make some sense? You are no longer yours. You have given yourself to God, and you have clothed yourself with Christ. You are being identified with Him in His death. What happened when He died? He died. He died with the punishment for you and I placed upon Him, our sins placed upon Him. And when He died, the controlling factor of sin died for those of us who believe, for those of us who walk with Him, for those of us who trust in Him. The controlling factor of sin has died. Paul explains a little more in verse 4. He says, therefore, we have been buried with Him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. If we were to have to pay for our sins, that's it. Boom, we're dead. If God said, look, you know, sin bad, me good, you have sinned, oh no, I can't have you with me, you have to die because of your sin. If that is the penalty for sin, death is. And so, oh no, well, this just sounds terrible then. If we were to have to pay for our sins, the only way we could pay for our sins is to die. Because that's the punishment that we deserve, every one of us. Oh, I wish we would just get what we deserve. Whoa, watch it. Be careful. Oh, what do we deserve? We deserve to die for our sins. That's what we deserve. Christ died in our place. And as we identify with Him in His death and burial, we too die to sin. Christ rose from the dead, and so we too rise to walk in newness of life. We've got a new life. It's a new life we've been given. We are a new creature in Christ. That's what's happening here. Christ rose from the dead, and so we too walk in newness of life. A Christian's baptism is a token burial in which the old order of life in sin comes to an end, to be replaced by the new order of life in Christ. This is me. This is me over here in sin before Christ. I'm doing whatever I want. I just feel like I can do whatever I want because it's my life and my goodness. It's my truth I choose to believe, and so I can come up with whatever I want to come up with. I can come up with my own theology. I can decide I don't know that I even believe in God. I can decide I don't like those Christians, or I can decide I can be a member of a church. I can be a part of a church, but not really walk with Jesus. I mean, that's not something I need to do. I can come up with whatever I want to. But then over here, this is me. And this is me in Christ, and this is me leaning on Him, living with Him in my life, His presence in my life, leaning on His Word, allowing Him to guide my life, allowing Him to set the standards, allowing Him to tell me what's right and what's wrong, allowing Him to be in charge. There's a total difference. There's a difference here, and there should be. There should be a visible difference between someone who does not know Christ and someone who does know Christ. It all comes down to walking with Him, having Him in charge. We're no longer sitting under judgment for our sins. Now, I know that you and I, some of us would like for some people to just be under judgment for their sins, even though they have Jesus in their lives. We just think, well, my goodness, I just think they just need to, you know, they just need to get zapped or something because that's just not right. But God has taken the punishment that each one of us deserves and He placed it on Christ. Baptism is an outward symbol of an inward experience. Paul is not saying that their immersion in water put them into Jesus Christ. Now, look, I can take you and throw you in the lake. I can take you and put you in the baptistry, but that doesn't make you in Christ. It probably make you wet. You'll be wet, but it doesn't put you in Christ. Baptism does not save you or put you into Christ because that was accomplished by the Spirit when they believed. Their immersion was a picture of what the Spirit did. The Holy Spirit identified them with Christ in His death, burial, and resurrection. So the Holy Spirit is so important in our lives because He identifies us with Christ. The Holy Spirit is the supernatural link between the believer and Christ. And He is so important, so important. So we must see that. Christ took the punishment for our sins. That's what He did. The second thing, because Jesus rose from the dead, we too can be raised to walk in newness of life. Look at verse 5. For if we have become... Now listen to this. For if we have become united with Him, if we have been united with the likeness of Him, Him in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Again, Paul is comparing believers to Christ here. The word translated united or planted together or become one with means to be characterized by a living, growing, and vital unity, being joined into a single living entity. Through the power of God, we are united with Christ in His death, His burial, and His resurrection. So see, this is what... Look at verse 6. He explains it a little further here. Look at verse 6. knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him. So the old self, the old way of living, oh, I can do whatever I want. It's my life. I'm in charge. Nobody tells me what to do. Nobody's going to force me to do anything. Nobody's going to force me to believe anything. All those Christians out there trying to force their religion. If a Christian is forcing their religion on someone else, the Christian needs to go back to Sunday school and learn that that's not how you do it. We are to love people to Jesus. We don't force people to Jesus. That can't happen. Somebody forces somebody to Jesus, somebody else can come and force them away. That doesn't work. But listen to this. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. There we go. There we go. That is some good stuff there. Look at verse 7. For he who has died is freed from sin. Well, now that makes sense, doesn't it? If you die, sin no longer has a hold on you. Because what? You're not here. Ah, but if you are identified with Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit into his death, his burial, his resurrection, then the power of sin, the controlling factor of sin, is no longer able to take a hold of you. If you're dead, then you're no longer controlled by sin. Dead in Christ. Through being united with Christ, the control of sin dies. We become dead to its control. Listen, to its control. Its influence is consistently and regularly and constantly with us. The influence of sin is everywhere. It's going to be there. But the controlling factor of it, the factor of it that says to you, oh, it's okay, go ahead and do it, and you just think, oh, well, okay, I'll just go ahead and do it. Every time the sin comes along with the controlling factor and tries to attack a Christian, the Christian has been given the ability to say no. The Christian has been empowered by God to say no. The Christian can say no. Someone who's not a Christian, oh, well, they may say no every now and then. They may be able to say it every now and then, but on a consistent basis, they cannot say no to sin because the controlling factor is right there in their lives. There's nothing they can do about it. Well, is there? Ha, yeah, there is something they can do about it. They can come to Christ. They can come to him. But the influence is always with us. Sin and death have no dominion over Christ. We are in Christ, therefore sin and death have no dominion over us. Jesus Christ not only died for sin, but he also died unto sin. That is, he not only paid the penalty for sin, but he broke the power of sin. Now that's good news. That is good news. Look at verses 8 and 9. Now, if we, Paul keeps on, you can see the legal mind here happening. You know, you see it on the paper here. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. F.F. Bruce said this. He said, in his death, he dealt effectively and conclusively with sin, winning a victory that needs no second fight and leaves no second foe. Through Christ's death to sin, we have life in him. A new life begins, free from the dominion of sin in our lives. It's a new life. The who's in charge? It's God that's in charge, because we've given our life to him. And we've allowed him to be in charge of our life. And when sin comes knocking at our door, we can say, sorry, already been there, don't need any more of that. We don't need any more of that. We can say no. We can say no. Christ gave us new life in him. Look at verse 10. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the sin that he lives, or the life that he lives, he lives to God. Christ's death was a unique event, never to be repeated. He died once and for all. There's no need to put Jesus on the cross every time someone sins, because he already went to the cross, died on the cross with our sins, past, present, and future. So there's no need to crucify him again because of your sin. He did it once and he did it for all. He did that for us. Look at verse 11. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Just as Jesus is dead to sin and alive to God, we are to keep on considering ourselves dead to sin and alive to God. We're to consider that and we're to think about that. Oh, I'm dead to sin. Wait a minute. No, I'm being faced with an opportunity. I'm being faced with temptation. I have an opportunity to sin here. But I'm alive to Christ. I'm alive to God. Through Christ, I don't have to do this. I do not have to say yes to sin. I can say no. I have the power to say no, because God has enabled me to say no. This is a command, by the way. This is a command. Consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God. Our focus is to be on Him, pleasing Him, living with Him, not for ourselves. Oh, that is one of the biggest messages of the Bible. To me, is the fact that God doesn't exist for himself, he exists for others. He sent Jesus, God didn't send Jesus into this world to see what was going on down here. God knew. God sent Jesus into this world because he cares for each and every one of us. And he sent him to be that sacrifice for us. He sent Jesus to make it possible for us to have salvation. He sent Jesus to show us that we, through him, can have a new life. A new life. And to live for others, not for ourselves. That's the biggest thing to me, is that we are to live for others. We're not here for ourselves. We're not here to gain fame and fortune. We're here to reach out to others, to live for others. Don't tell me that your little actions do not affect everybody around you. Don't tell me that. Oh, but it's my life. Yeah, it is, but it affects everybody around you. There's no way you and I can just live for ourselves and never think about those around us, because we affect everybody. And sometimes we infect people around us. God gave us a new life in Him. The third thing, stop presenting your body to sin. Look at verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts. Paul's reminding, look, your life is in Christ. You belong to God. God is in control. Remember, you gave yourself to Him. You are to allow Him to control your life. And so in doing that, you do not need to allow sin to be in charge. You have a new master now. You follow a new king. You have the choice to allow Christ to rule over you. And guess what? You already told Him that you would. When you accepted Christ into your heart, you gave your life to Him. It's just like joining the army. You are now property of the United States government. That's what happens. You give your life to Christ, you are now property of God Almighty. And He's in charge. And when He says jump, you don't stop and ask how high. You just jump. You just jump. You go. You do. Because God is going to want to use you in so many different ways. Look at verse 13. And do not go on presenting. Now, that I love this. That's a good translation of this verb. Do not go on. Do not continue to present the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. But present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Ooh, did you hear that? It means we have a choice to make as to what to do with our bodies. We can offer them up to sin. We can offer them up to sin and we can just participate in sin, or we can not do that. We can offer them up to sin, or we can offer them as instruments of righteousness to God. Look, God wants to use you and me in this world, and when we offer ourselves up to Him, He will use us. That is the most exciting thing to me. The fact that God wants to, and He's waiting, and when we offer ourselves and say, God, use me, He will. He will do that. He will do that. He won't say, oh, no, now, come on. I've got enough people doing my work. I'll get back to you later. No, no. He is looking for those children who are willing and ready and offering themselves up, offering their bodies, offering all that they are up to Him. The point is that that decision has to be continually made on a moment-by-moment basis. Continually, dear God, I'm yours. I'm yours. I'm yours today. I'm offering myself up to you to use me in some way today. Use me, Father. Uh-oh. There seems to be something going on over here to the side of me, over in this area. These people are talking. They're getting in an argument. God, what do I need to do? Am I a part of this? Some of us will say, no. Their fight. No, their boxing ring, their boxers or whatever, you know. I ought to be a part of that. As an instrument of peace, as a child of God, it is highly possible that you are there to maybe go over and to say something about what's happening over there in the corner with people getting their voices raised, getting mad about something, disagreeing. It's highly possible that you, as the light of the world, having the light of the world inside of you, you are the light of the world, are the one who is to go do something about what you see. It is highly possible that God has placed you there for a reason. We must remember to offer ourselves up to the Lord at all times. I know this sounds dumb, but it does happen. Wow, every time I hang out with that certain group of friends, I get drunk and do something stupid. Huh? Stop hanging out with those friends. Oh, well, you know how odd. Every time I stay up late, I wind up watching some movie that I shouldn't be watching. I don't know why. I don't know why that happened. Go to bed earlier. Turn off the computer. Turn off the phone. Turn off the TV. If we know that when we place ourselves in certain situations that we're going to wind up sinning, then don't do that. Paul says, offer yourselves up. He says, look, do not keep presenting. Do not go on presenting. Do not continue to present the members of your body to sin as instruments. Don't do it. Just don't do it. Remember last Sunday we talked about the fact that God will provide a way of escape when temptation comes. He will provide it, and all you and I need to do is be looking for it. I think sometimes we see the way of escape and think, hey, well, maybe not. I don't know. I'm liking this sin. It's there. The way of escape has been provided by God. It is there for us if we will take it. We must be looking for it. Look at verse 14. For sin shall not be... I love that. For sin shall not be master over you, but you are not under law, but under grace. The law demanded obedience, but grace supplies the will and the power to obey. So grace breaks the mastery of sin as the law could not do. Sin does have the upper hand over a person who is under the law. Why? Because the law tells him what to do, but doesn't give him the power to do it. The law says, you've done wrong. That's wrong. So we know it's wrong, but the grace enables us to do what we need to do. The law helps us to know we did wrong, but that's all the law can do. It points out what we've done is wrong, but it doesn't give the person the power to do anything about it. The law also stirs up sleeping desires in fallen human nature to do what is forbidden. The law, there's a law. Oh, God doesn't want us to do this. Oh, I didn't know. I didn't know we couldn't do. I didn't know. And then we start fixating on things. But grace. Sin does not have dominion over the person who is under grace. The believer has died to sin. He has received the indwelling of the Holy Spirit as the power for holy living. And he is motivated by love for the Savior, not fear of punishment. That's not how Christians live. Christians aren't to live. You and I aren't to live under this constant burden of the law. Oh, if we mess up, he's going to zap us. He's going to hate us. It's going to be bad. No. That's not how we as Christians, as children of God, are to live. That is not who we have as holy God. We have a holy heavenly Father who loves us. He doesn't let us get away with anything we want to do. He does help us to know that what we're doing is wrong or what we're doing is right. But he also enables us to do what's right. He doesn't just sit up there with a law book and say, whoop, there's another one messing up. Oh, man, look at that one. Boy, I never thought they'd do that. No, God comes along through his grace and empowers us to produce holiness in our lives. God does this through his grace. As one scholar put it, it is not restraint but inspiration that liberates us from sin. Not Mount Sinai, but Mount Calvary, which makes saints. So the message is, follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. Sin, oh, it's a mess, and it gets us in a bad spot. And Paul says, look, do not present yourself to sin as instruments of sin. Do not do that. Present instead yourself to be an instrument of God. Allow God to use you. Allow God to work through you. Allow yourself to be an instrument of Almighty God in this world. It's incredible. Dead to sin, alive to God in Jesus Christ. We used to live this way. But we don't live this way anymore. And sometimes the transition from this way to this way takes a while, takes a little time. Sometimes it takes some time to some change. It's a process for us to get here where we're fully committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't know that we're going to truly, perfectly make it until we get to heaven. But we're in the process. We should be moving in this direction. If we've accepted Christ over here, then it's time to make the transition. It's time to move in this direction. And the Holy Spirit is he has his hand out. He's pulling us along over here to be more like Christ. And the process is occurring in our lives. But every time we sin, we slow the process a little. Every time we sin, we slow the process down a little. Now, is God going to say, well, now, my goodness, I thought you were better. No. He's going to say, I saw that coming. I knew you were going to give in. I knew that was going to happen. But I'm here for you, and we're still moving in this direction. We're still going this way. We're still going to becoming more like Christ, my son. This is still happening here. And we have a God who cares enough about us to move us along and to be there with us and to help us to be less like the sinful person of the world, and more like Christ. Would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the love that you have for us. God, you could have just simply continued to sit up there with a law book and judge us and just be very disappointed in us. But Father, you had grace, and you shared your grace with us. And through your Son, Jesus, you made it possible for us to die to the controlling factor of sin and to be alive in you. Oh, Father, thank you for making that possible. Thank you for having your Son take the punishment for our sins. Father, boy, you did that. You gave us a new life in your Son. You made it possible for us to live under grace, not the law. Oh, God, thank you, thank you. Thank you for allowing us to know that we have a God who loves us, a God who cares for us so much that you made it possible for us to have our sins forgiven. You made it possible for us to become more like your Son, Jesus. Maybe there's somebody here this morning that just says, look, I think I need this. I think I need this Jesus in my life. I think I need to come and to ask God to forgive me of my sins, to be in charge of my life. I'm sorry for the way I've been living. I don't want to live that way anymore. I want God to be in control of my life. Maybe today you need to make that decision to follow Christ. Listen, you don't have to do what sin says you have to do. You don't have to do what the devil urges you and tempts you to do. You can get out of that. You can get out of that controlling master of sin, the slavery of sin. You can get out of that through Christ. He provides the way out. Would you let him do that for your life? Would you let him do that for you?
Thank you for listening to Words of Encouragement. Truly, the most important decision you will ever make is what to do with Jesus. What do you do with Jesus? Do you ignore him? Do you just say, well, he was somebody who lived a long time ago. There's no continuing influence on my life from his. Well, have you looked into it? Have you looked into the fact that there are thousands of people still following Jesus? Jesus' followers are following because he's alive. We believe he's alive. The Bible teaches that he is. He rose from the dead. The Bible teaches us, and we believe it. I would encourage you to read Lee Strobel. Lee Strobel, S-T-R-O-E-B-L. He wrote a book called The Case for Christ. He sought to get out there and to disprove the resurrection. He did not believe in Jesus. And when he went out and started gathering information, trying to disprove, he wound up, he could not disprove, so he had to approve. He wound up being a believer. He did the research. You can read his research. You can do your own. But I know that you will come to the conclusion at some point that Jesus was a real person. He did live on this earth. He did die on the cross. And he did rise from the dead. What will you do with Jesus? I pray that you will take some time to consider who he is. Talk to the Lord. Talk to God. He wants to hear from you. He loves you so much. That's why he sent Jesus. He wants you to have forgiveness of sins. He wants you to be with him forever in heaven. He extends his arms out to you. He welcomes you. He calls on you to come to him. My prayer is that you will talk with him, that you will talk with him about this, that you will confess your sins and allow him to be in charge of your life. If you have more questions about this, you can always go to fbcwinsboro.com. That's fbcwinsboro.com. And there's a gospel presentation, a way that you can be a part of God's family. So I ask that you watch that and tune in. Keep tuning in to this podcast. We're glad that you're along for the ride, for this journey. And I pray that God will bless you and that he will reveal himself to you in a way that you know he's real. He loves you. Until next time, remember, you matter to God and to us at the First Baptist Church of Winsboro, Louisiana.